You're listening to Illinois Public Media. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the U of I. It's a Friday morning, the 18th day of September. Let's take a look at what the numbers are trading like in Chicago at this hour. Futures in the corn and the bean pits are both lower. Nearby December contract for the corn down 3 cents at $3.76¾. The March 2¾ lower. The May down 2¾ as well. And July down 2¾ at this hour. December contract down a penny and three quarters at $4.05. Soy complex, November beans down 13¾. January down 13¾. The March 13¾ lower. July down 12¼. And next year's November down 12 cents at $8.71. That nearby November, by the way, was trading at $8.70½, and it's now down 14¼. Bean meal down 3.50 at $3.0970. Bean oil 59 cents lower, $26.08. Soft red winter wheat up a quarter of a cent in the nearby December. July of next year up a quarter as well at $4.97¾ for the soft red harvest month, and the hard red Kansas City July harvest month at $5.12¼, down a half. Live cattle futures in Chicago down 27½ cents at $136.57½. Feeders for the October, $1.12½ lower at $186.67½, and lean hogs for the morning on the October contract at $71, up 42½ cents. On the line to take a look at these numbers is Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting out of Atchison, Kansas. Good morning to you, Michael.
Good morning, Todd. Good to be with you this nice wet Friday in Atchison. We finally got a rain and got a little bit of a drought-busting rain here.
I wondered whether you had gotten a rain. I know we had a large enough rain that it backed up into my systems, not into the house, but I heard a few things outside that tell me that it was a pretty good gully washer this morning. I didn't check really to see how much had fallen, but a nice size rain here as well. That'll slow down harvest just a bit. Usually that means grains go higher, but not today. Why are the soybeans lower?
Well, interesting to note that after Monday's move higher led by the wheat, I think we had a couple things come in here that really pushed the longs out of the market, led by the soybeans once again. And we've seen this trend redevelop, Todd, where the soybeans are the back to being the leader of the downside. I think first and foremost, money just stayed on the sideline ahead of the Federal Reserve announcement yesterday afternoon. The other thing that happened, I think, that really kind of made the weekly trade what it was going to finish up this week to be was the FSA data. The acreage numbers did not feed the bull. They were pretty much as advertised in beans and maybe even a little bit negative for the corn. And so you didn't have that element of the corn being able to pull up the beans after that wheat-led rally on Monday. Finally, yields. I think the big thing that we're seeing in the central Illinois, central Indiana area is a disparity in yields. Corn yields still struggling. Bean yields actually outperforming many farmers' expectations. And we're seeing this in the cash basis. We've seen Lafayette beans in Indiana go from 60 over at the start of the month to after today, now down a nickel. So a 65-cent swing lower in the basis for Lafayette beans. Decatur corn, however, has gone from zero or flat basis to now today up a nickel. And I would suspect that may even improve yet before the end of the day, given this rain that's come through. So these are the big three things, I think, moving the markets this week.
Can you tell me what as advertised for the FSA numbers for soybeans means in particular? Because there is still a wide spread between the NASS official number and the FSA figures at this time.
Yeah, good question. You know, what I mean by as advertised is when I look at the final USDA number last year and the FSA numbers last year at this time, the difference between those two numbers and what the FSA is suggesting this year would say to me that we're probably looking at 1 million to 1.5 million less planted acres, or less than, around a little under 1 million acres less harvested acres for soybeans versus what we're running right now. Well, I think the trade has tried to already price some of that in, and they're just going to wait till the October report before they fully price it in. So there wasn't any kind of bullish news on beans. And I think most importantly, the corn number looks like the USDA could actually take the corn acreage up just a hair, maybe 300,000 to 400,000 acres. And I think that did a lot in terms of increasing the negative sentiment, and it probably just pushed longs out of the market. They probably just kind of threw in the towel, and I think this is where we were at a point where the wheat had done a lot of good Monday, but we needed some more news from the FSA to extend these gains because we were hitting some critical weekly highs and weekly resistance points that we quite frankly just failed at on Monday, Tuesday time period.
Does this set up the soybeans? And I'll go back to an old adage that Paul Cooley used to say, that the trend is your friend, for a continuation of a sideways trade. And do you have a range bound a range that might be within, or am I just not thinking about it correctly?
No, I think you hit on the nose, because I would not be saying what I'm talking about right now about the FSA data had the yield numbers and the basis levels this week not fallen so much, and you know, done the same thing last week for the most part as well. If the bean yields would be coming in like the corn yields, I don't think we'd have to be discussing this at all right now, Todd. I think the corn would have, you know, pulled the beans up willingly at this stage of the game. So, no, I think you're right. We're probably more sideways and less uptrend at this stage of the game until we get to the stocks report at the end of the month, because the cash market is clearly saying farmers are dumping beans. And so that's short-term negative. But I would also say to you, from a farmer perspective, and producer, client, producer, subscriber perspective, while you're dumping the beans, keep in mind you're also letting the market have those soybeans. You're transferring ownership, and that could be very favorable to the bean price down the road, i.e., as we get towards the South American weather market come December, January, February. So while I'm, you know, not liking this price of dumping cash beans here, I do think it's more worthwhile to store corn still. And I think I can buy the re-ownership back on paper and get just as good of a potential return off the paper than I would from the bin right now.
These are numbers a little wider than I think the range actually might be, but really close. $8.50 to $9 on the sideways for November.
Yes.
Beans, right? Okay.
Yeah, and I've got an actual undervalue of around $8.05 for then. That would be off the November chart and off the November analysis, based upon an idea that we're probably under a 300 million bushel carryover. But unlike the past 4 years, we still have that overhang of South American crop, and unlike the past 4 years, we have a lot more uncertainty about what China is going to do as far as demand. So I think you're right, that 850 level, 840 level should catch a lot of negativity, but I would not exclude the idea that if we had something come in like a strong dollar again, that we could push that down closer to 8 even.
Right, so your thought process, I think, on beans, and I'll stick with that then at this moment, is that you're going to market them across the scale, but wait as long as you possibly can until you have to, at the last moment, I guess, market it.
If you don't have on-farm storage, right, for both corn and beans, you
right.
bet.
And then what do you do? Nothing? Wait?
Yeah, you sit on the sidelines and you wait for the El Nino weather market. You wait for the meal market to bottom. And I think different than the last few years as well, Todd, is the soybean oil market. We've had big problems in India. We've had big production problems in both India and Indonesia. And that's your bean oil, and that's your palm oil heart and soul of consumption and demand. And so this may be one of those years where we want to watch the bean oil market for putting in the low first, as opposed to the meal. And I would say USDA's livestock numbers last week, when they reduced pork production and 2015 poultry production in their WASD update, that would also suggest your meal's less likely to be the leader to the upside here. So kind of different type of marketing environment in the soy complex than what we've faced the last 4 or 5 years.
Go biodiesel and thank you, the RFS. Okay.
Exactly. that's another key point. I'm glad you brought that up. That is another key point, is that is looming out there, and that could be, you know, bean oil. The reason I don't like bean oil as much is because it's such a volatile commodity, because it's more thinly traded, and it takes shocks a lot worse than the meal market. But we may just have to deal with the soybean oil as our leader this year when it comes to the soybeans between now and next June.
Oh, looking forward to talking with you again this afternoon.
You too, sir. Have a great day.
You too. That, of course, is Mike Zuzulo. He's with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting out of Atchison, Kansas, here to talk a little bit about the marketplace this morning. You can always hear him again if you'd like on our website. The address there is willag.org. Speaking of which, this is WILL AM 580, WILL FM 90.9, HD3 Urbanum. Our home website address is will.illinois.edu. Corn futures still down a penny to 2 cents. Beans are off about 13 for the day. Wheat futures are up around 2 cents. And live cattle futures are down 30 cents. Feeders are down about $1.70. Lean hogs are up a dime for the morning. Some of the outside markets at this time show us the Dow Jones Industrial Average off 253 points. It's at 16,706, and the price of crude oil for a barrel is down $1.04 at $45.86. Gasoline, a gallon, at $1.37.6. And that's the wholesale price. More on the top of the hour with agriculture. I'm Todd Gleason.